let's pray together and we'll jump right into our lesson. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. We thank you because we realize that this is a day that the Lord hath made and we want to rejoice and be glad in it. We're grateful that you have allowed us to be let down into the deep treasures of your word. And in particular, oh God, we pray that you would help us even this day as we want to be transformed and not conformed. We love you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, those of you who have been with us for the last week or so, a couple of weeks, know that we are in a new series out of the book of Daniel. And today, this is part two. We spent the last couple of weeks in part one. And so we are moving today into part two of the book of Daniel. And today I want, our series is entitled Unshakable. It is thriving no matter what life throws at you. Thriving no matter what life throws at you. How can we remain unshakable in a society that seems to be shaking on every end? And so we pray that we will get something out of these lessons as we share, we pray God is with us. So this part today, we're going to talk about when we are pressured to conform. Unshakable, when we are pressured to conform to this world, to this society. And when we look at the book of Daniel, here's what we remember. Our end note, those of you who have read through Daniel, and that is in the book of Daniel, there's more adventure, political intrigue, more death threats and raw courage. When we look at the book of Daniel, then most modern day blockbuster movies. When you read Daniel, you will find a little bit of everything in there. And we love Daniel. It's an amazing story of a boy who starts out at 15 years of age, and it ends up to 70 years later, where he's 85. Just an amazing story of that God has given us in the Holy Writ. I told you last week that the nation of Israel had fallen into real spiritual decline. I told you about the fact that there was a lot of, they had fallen into idolatry, fallen into immorality, they had fallen into injustice, sort of what, you know, our society is dealing with in this day and age. It is not something that is foreign to us. Our society itself has fallen into immorality, injustice, and also idolatry as well. And God had warned the children, the nation of Israel, over and over again through prophets like Jeremiah and Isaiah and Zephaniah, and said that if they didn't straighten up, that they were going to lose all of their freedoms. And so we know that in 586 BC, God allowed the powerful empire of the Babylonian Empire under Nebuchadnezzar to swarm in and devastate Israel. And they devastated the country. They destroyed the capital of Jerusalem. We know that they took 25% of the population of Israel as prisoners of war. And some of those people lived and died in the foreign land. One of those prisoners we know was a boy by the name of Daniel. And he's 15 years old, and he was separated from his parents, never saw his parents again, and never got back to his home country. But the rest of his life was an amazing rags-to-riches story. And he starts off as a prisoner of war, and by the By the age of 85, he is one of the most powerful men in the entire empire, save the emperor. He is one who outlasts three emperors: Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, who were from the Babylonian Empire, and then the Assyrians and the Persians came, and he was there when Cyrus got there, and he actually led two of those emperors to faith in God. So it's an amazing story, and so I want to walk through a couple of things. Today, I want to talk about the fact of Daniel was tested over and over and over and over again, and he passed those tests, and each time he passed tests, he was promoted. We'll see that in the test, in the text we'll be looking at today. On your outline, there's a verse out of Proverbs, and this is the New Living Translation out of Proverbs chapter 17, verse 13. This is the New Living. I'm going to read it out of the English Standard Version real quick. Proverbs 17, verse 3, and it reads as follows from the English Standard Version. Proverbs 17, verse 3. It says, the crucible is for silver, and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests the heart. I like the way fire tests the purity of silver and gold. It says, but the Lord tests the heart. But the Lord tests the heart. Listen, I want to give you this life principle, and it's on your outline. There it says, before every blessing, there will always be, in that blank, put testing. I like the way Proverbs says, the Lord tests the heart. It says, before every blessing, there will be a testing. Here's what we got to know. The Lord tests the heart. He will test your heart. He will test my heart. And if we're going to be blessed, listen, by God, we need to know that we will be tested by God. If we're going to be blessed by God, note that God will test us. He tests our heart. And if you're going to be used by God, he's going to test you. He's going to see if you can handle what he's trying to give you. And if you're ready, if you can handle the power, or if you can you handle the blessing, can you handle the influence? And so he allows us to be tested, and whatever he wants us to give, he wants to make sure that we can handle it. He wants to make sure that we can handle it. What does God test? He tests our character. That's what we'll see with Daniel. He tests our character, our integrity, our humility. He tests our generosity, our loyalness, our faithfulness. He tests whether or not we're going to be truthful or honest, and all of that. He tests character. He wants to make sure that what we profess with our mouth, that we actually are living in our own life. He tests us. And if you pass tests, God knows how to promote you from one level to the next. And, you know, if you get promoted with more power, more influence, God wants to know that you can handle it. And he also, you know, wants us to know that we can handle it as well. That's why Paul was, you know, watched in that verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul was taught so much, and he actually wrote so much of the Bible, because I believe, and you know, God shared stuff with him that he didn't share with anybody else, and I believe that it is because God tested him, and he knew that he could trust the Apostle Paul. Watch what he says in 1 Thessalonians. It's on your outline. We speak God's message because God tested us and trusted us to do it. When we speak, we are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our heart. Did you get that? It says, he says, We speak God's message because God tested us. And look at that. Circle that word. God tested us and he trusted us. God tested us and he trusted us. He entrusted to us. He approved us. That's what one version said. He approved us. And it's the ideal of God, you know, testing. And when he tests us, he trusts us with the message. And that Paul wasn't going to go off into some aberrant theology, but he was going to stick with what God told him. I like that, beloved, because that's what we got to understand. If we want to be promoted, if we want to continue to be blessed, if we want to go higher in the Lord, know that there are tests that God will allow us to go through so that he knows that he can trust us with what he has given us. Are you listening to me? Daniel's character in this story was tested many, many times. We'll see that. And he passed the test, so God gave him more influence. He kept giving him more power. And most importantly, he gave him more insight. Note that only Daniel and John, the revelator, out of the book of Revelation, God showed them a whole lot of stuff that he didn't show other people. And I believe that God used Daniel, he used John, you know, to show the end of history and all of that, because he could trust them. He tested them, they passed tests, and God knew that he could trust them even with some of the most vital messages of the Christian theology. The end of the world, what he showed Daniel some stuff he didn't show anybody else. And so I believe it is because God knew that he could trust Daniel. Here's what I want us to understand, and that is, He tests character, but why did God show Daniel? Why did God show that all that stuff to Daniel? Because Daniel passed the test and he trusted him. Let me give you another life principle that's right there. God tests us with stress before he trusts us with success. Put that in that blank. God tests us with stress before he blesses, before he trusts us with success. He tests us with stress. Can you handle it? Before he trusts us with success. Can you handle the stress that's going to be put on you with this thing? The stress to be right, the stress to remain a person of integrity, the stress to be a person of honesty and all of that, a person of character, a person of courage. He tests us with that kind of courage, with that kind of test, before he can trust us with success. Daniel was tested many times, and he passed those tests, and we'll see that. Each lesson in this series is a series of tests that God, and we'll see even the word promoted, where God promoted him after he passed those tests. And last week we talked about, you know, the first test was the test of change, how Daniel was taken out of his homeland, never to see his family again. You know, that took a whole lot there. And that when you're going through major change and the challenges that come up in our life, last week we talked about the fact that God uses those major changes or challenges in our life to inspect us, to correct us, to direct us, to protect us, or to perfect us. And today we're going to look at a different kind of test, not major change in our life, but we're going to look at the social pressure. How do we handle this social pressure and the pressure to conform and the pressure to give in to the world's demands, not to give in to the world's demand, and the pressure that's put on the believer of how we are going to stand and be steadfast and unmovable in a world that is causing everything else around us to shake. And so that's our lesson today, when we are pressured to conform. That's what we'll see in Daniel, And, you know, when we're pressured with something that we know is not right by our boss, by the government, by, you know, authorities in our life, and we feel the pressure of peers, everybody else is doing it, and all of that, how do we stand strong without violating our conscience and what we know is right to do? How do we do that? I'm glad you asked. Note, beloved, that King Nebuchadnezzar, he takes again 25% of Israel hostage, and he moves and takes them to Babylon. He says to pick out of those, that 25%, the best, the brightest, the most beautiful, the strongest, the most gifted, and of those bunch, we know that Daniel was part of it. He was 15 years of age, and Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to take you to a three-year indoctrination. I'm going to try to wipe out the memory of Israel, and you don't need your God anymore. I'm going to secularize you. In other words, I'm going to brainwash you. I'm going to train you for 3 years. This is the program that Nebuchadnezzar wants to take these best, the brightest, the most beautiful, the most intelligent, gifted young men, and indoctrinate them into the Babylonian culture. And he says, I want to teach you the language. I want to teach them a new culture. I want to teach them new habits, give them a new religion, and even give them new names. On your outline, we know that it says in verse Daniel chapter 1, verse 7, that all the boys were given new Babylonian names. Daniel was Belteshazzar. Hananiah was Shadrach. Mishael was Meshach, and Azariah was Abednego. What does that mean? And, you know, what's going on here? Why are they getting new names? Because their Hebrew names referred to their God. And so when you look up the names of Daniel and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, all of those were names that pointed to their God. And so they gave them Babylonian names that pointed to the Babylonian gods. And so we'll get into that. They wanted new names, new identities, new jobs, all of that that was different, that was new, and but also they wanted them to have a new diet. That's where we are today in our lesson. They wanted to give them a new diet. He said, Nebuchadnezzar says, he don't want you to eat the Jewish food anymore. You're not only going to be allowed, you're only going to be allowed to eat the Babylonian diet or the Babylonian food. And you're going to eat what the king eats. In your outline, it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 5, and the king ordered the young men should eat the same food and the wine served at the king's table while they were being trained. And after, it says, they were to become servants of the king of Babylon. In other words, the Babylonian king says, look, you're no longer going to eat the Jewish diet or the Jewish food. I now want you to eat a Babylonian diet, and afterwards you will serve, become servants of the king of Babylon. You're going to have a position in service to the king of Babylon. I'm going to indoctrinate you with a new language, new clothes, new religion, and also a new diet. And I'm going to change your name. And watch this. But Daniel, you see that, resolved not to defile himself. You see that? By eating the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for the permission not to defile himself in that way. Here is young Daniel, 15 years of age. It says, but Daniel resolve. He stood strong in a sense of not wanting to defile himself in that way, in the way of eating the food that was from the Babylonian meal plan, if you would. And so it's just like, you know, what's really going on here is just like any true athlete. You got these athletes who, when they're in training, they don't eat a certain diet. They make sure that they're high in protein, or, you know, all of that stuff. And this is what the king of Babylon is trying to do. He's trying to get them to, you know, train and indoctrinate them into the Babylonian culture. And so he feels that these are the right foods in order for them to eat to become strong and healthy and all of that. But the Bible says that Daniel did not want, he resolved that he did not want to defile himself in that way. He did not want to defile himself in that way. That word defile there means to pollute. It means to contaminate. It means to corrupt. It means to have a loss of purity. And Daniel didn't want that. He didn't want a loss. He didn't want to corrupt himself. He thought it was a corruption of himself. And he didn't want to defile himself that way. It's sort of like you going to the park and you get a park bench and you have a party there. But then when you leave, at first the park bench is clean, everything's good. But then when you leave all these cans and all this other stuff. You defile that which was beautiful, that which was, you pollute the park bench and all of that. This is the ideal that Daniel did not want to defile himself or pollute himself in that manner. He says, I'm not going to defile myself in that manner. And, the ideal, what was the big deal? And why did Daniel, he's 15 years of old, take on the most powerful man in the world and say, sorry, your food's not good enough, and I'm not going to eat it. What's really going on here? First of all, I believe, and this is not on your outline, but I'm just going to give it to you. I think Daniel makes the decision because of health reasons. I think when it comes down to it, the king's food probably was junk food. It wasn't healthy food, and I think that, but also I want you to know that it was cultural, because God gave the Jews, the nation of Israel, a very strict dietary laws. And obviously, Daniel knew them and understood them, and that's what we call kosher food today. A strict diet. And God did this because he wanted them to never forget that they were unique people. And not just health reasons, but it had to do with culture. It set the children of Israel apart. And Daniel understood that. Daniel at 15 understood that the children of Israel were unique and set apart, and God had them on strict dietary laws. And Daniel did not want to defile himself. He wanted to remain uniquely Jewish, even in the area of dietary laws. And so Daniel says, wait, I'm not supposed to eat the way of the Babylonians. My culture, my God says I need to eat a certain way. And that is where we drop down on the same. It's important, beloved, and let's be clear about this idea of dietary foods and all of that stuff. There's a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 5 that says false teachers will order people to abstain from certain foods which God created to receive with thanksgiving. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and through prayer. Let's not get it twisted. Anything that's made by God, listen, we can eat. Amen. A Twinkie is not made by God. Amen. Somebody, that's a man made. But anything God made that is edible, we can eat. It says, and then Jesus said like this, really, we're not defiled by what we put in, but we're defiled by what comes out of our mouth, out of our heart. So it's not so much what goes in that really defiles a person. And I know we gotta be careful about some of the stuff we eat, because they put so many different chemicals and pesticides and all of that stuff in it. And we gotta have some kind of, making sure we are eating healthy and all of that. I believe in that. But I want you to know that some stuff we worry about, we just need to pray about it, give it to God. And, and be careful about what we eat and how we eat and all of that good stuff. But if God created it, there's a sense of how we can make it edible and eat. You know, stuff that man made, that's what we really got to be careful about. And how man manipulates some of the stuff God made, those are the things we have to really be careful about. So the ideal, and that's just for free, y'all, but the ideal that Daniel did not want to defile himself, it was literally not just for health reasons, not just cultural, but it was an attack. It was a spiritual attack on Daniel's identity. Listen, they attempted to reprogram him. And they wanted him to forget about his God and forget about the values that obviously he was taught as a kid. They wanted those boys to forget their spiritual heritage. And so they were changing everything, including their diet. They were going to reprogram them, secularize them. They were not going to be spiritual Jews anymore. They were going to be secular Babylonians. And this is the first test that Daniel passed, and the first test that he shows in this verse. He shows four characters. Character traits that I believe God tests us on in order to continue to promote us and bless us. So I've given you the background. There they are. There Daniel. Attack on his spiritual identity. Not just health, not just cultural, but his spiritual identity, his connection with God and the one true God of Israel. And God allows Daniel to go through this test. And I believe there's four areas that God is trying to test Daniel as well. Beloved, hear me, that when we talk about being unshakable, these are areas that God will test us on. Listen, watch this. The first quality God looks for in your life or in our life, watch this. This is it. Number one, this first test, the food test, reveals Daniel's integrity. He never forgets who he was. Put that in that blank. The first area, the first quality is integrity. He never forgets who he was. He says, you can change my name, you can bring me to Babylon, you can change my clothing, but you cannot change my heart. That's what Daniel is saying by saying, I don't want to defile myself. I'm not going to conform to the society and the values of this society. That's why we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't conform yourselves to the values of this world. I like the way one Phillips translation says, do not allow the world to squeeze you into their box. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We'll see that. Instead, let God transform you by a complete change of how you think. Listen, and then he says, then you will be able to know the will of God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the perfect will of God. Listen, the ideal is that Daniel was tested in the area of integrity. Listen, we've got two choices in life as believers. One, we can be conformed to this world, or we can be transformed. I hope you get that. We can be conformed and act just like everybody else in this world. We can look the same. We can smell the same. We can talk the same just like everybody else in this world when we're conformed to the world, or we can be transformed to God. We can be conformed by the world, or we can be transformed by the word. Are you listening to me? And if we are transformed by the word, we will know the will of God. Get that? I talk to people all the time to say, I don't know what God's will for my life is. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing and all of that. And I believe, beloved, it's possibly because we have not yet allowed God to transform us instead of being conformed to this world. The truth is, beloved, some folk are more interested in being just like everybody else and less interested in being unique and set apart to be who God made us. And I've discovered, beloved, that as long as we are worried about conforming, looking the same, talking the same, acting the same, speaking the same, trying to be cool like everybody else, as long as we worried about being conformed to this world, listen, beloved, the truth is, we gonna miss out on knowing what the will of God is for our life. But if we go like this, really, I don't care what folk in the world think about me. I only want what God wants for me. I want what's best in my life. Listen, the truth of the matter is, if we get to that place and we allow God to transform us, we'll know what the will of God is in our life. We ain't going to have to ask questions. Well, what does God want me to do? Well, he wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's the ideal, because Daniel reveals integrity. He never forgets who he is and who God made him to be. And when he says, I don't want to be defiled by the king's diet, by the emperor's diet, it's about integrity. He wants to remain a child of God, act like a child of God, live like a child of God, talk like a child of God, and he does not want to conform to the image of this world and conform to the world around him. So it's about integrity. I am a child of God, and so I want to look like, live like, talk like a child of God, and I want to do what God has called me to do. So it's integrity, and I believe God tests all of us when it comes to conforming. Will we remain people of integrity? Will we stand on the principles that God has given us? That's the first thing. The second thing is this. It is the area of discipline. Listen, the qualities God looks for in life is integrity. Will, in the face of the world trying to conform us, will we remain children of God? Will we act like and talk like? Second thing is discipline. Watch this. He controlled his ego and his appetite. Watch this. Daniel, in this situation, it says in verse 8, right there on your outline, Daniel made up his mind, watch this, not to eat the food and the wine given to them by the king. Daniel made up his mind not to eat of the food and the wine given to them by the king. Are you listening to me? Hear me, beloved. I'm sure, that everybody else thought this was gourmet food, but Daniel shows tremendous discipline in spite of the great temptation. If you were Daniel, think about it, a teenager at 15 years old, you're taken from your homeland by force, and you're going to never see your parents again. You're in a foreign country, and you don't have any parental supervision. You're just 15 years of age. Then the most powerful man in the country offers you all kinds of perks. He says, you're going to be on my personal staff. Hear what he says. He says, I'm going to give you power and prestige and pleasure. You're going to have the best of everything. You're going to get all the perks of the palace and live in luxury. You're going to be pampered. You're going to get preferential treatment. He says you're going to be given the best education. You're going to get given the best of the culture. You're going to be get the most expensive gourmet food that that this culture has to offer. The truth is, at 15, think about this, Daniel turns that down. He turns it down. Are you listening to me? The truth is, beloved, at 15, that's a whole lot of turning down for a 15-year-old, not to eat this gourmet food that's put before him, to get the best of what the Babylonian dietary customs had allowed. He's by himself at 15, and yet Daniel remains disciplined in his appetites and even his ego. I will see that later on. Daniel is incredibly, help me hear somebody, disciplined for a 15-year-old kid without his parents. And he says to the most powerful man in the world, Nebuchadnezzar, I don't want to eat your food that you're offering to me. I'm going to serve because God put me here. He says, I'm here without my permission, so I'm going to serve and do what I'm supposed to do. You're a pagan king, but I don't want to be conformed to this strict dietary plan. It's discipline, beloved. You know, the truth of the matter is, he says, I know I'm never going to be one of you. I know who I am. I'm a Jewish young boy. I'm not Babylonian. And God made me who I am, and I'm going to be disciplined. In other words, he's simply saying, just because I can do something don't mean I should do something. And just because he was in Babylon, he was willing to say to the most powerful man in the world, I will not do this. I don't want to do this. Listen, that is an amazing amount of maturity for a 15-year-old kid. I wonder what if Daniel's parents would have seen him. They would have said, wow, we really instilled a lot in this boy at 15 years of age to be able to stand up and be as disciplined in the Jewish customs and laws, and even faithful to his God. And wow, that discipline gives honor to God. So it's the area of integrity. It is the area of discipline. Watch what the Bible says in that Romans chapter 6, verse 13 in your outline. It says, do not let any part of your body become tools of wickedness used for sinning. Instead, give yourself completely to God. You see that on your outline? It says, because you want to be a tool in the hands of God, used for his good purposes. Do not let any part of your body, listen, that was a decision that Daniel made as a teenager, to be used by God and not by the world. Are you listening to me? Not used by culture. Not to be transformed, not to be conformed to the world around him, but to be continue to be transformed by God. That is major for a 15-year-old boy. And listen, that's why I know it's possible for our young children to follow God and love God and walk with God. Because if Daniel could do it in the face of the Babylonian Empire and Nebuchadnezzar, listen, we can instill those same values in our children as well. I hope somebody hears me. Listen, that is the ideal of integrity. I don't want to do this. I want to remain faithful to my God. Integrity. I want to be disciplined in the area, and so I don't want to conform to this world. That's discipline. A lot of discipline for a 15-year-old boy. Watch this. Number three, on our outline is this. Not only integrity, not only discipline, but God looks for courage. Whew, it takes a whole lot of courage to stand strong for God in a world gone wrong. It's courage. And look at this. It takes a great amount of courage for Daniel to ask the most powerful man in the world to exempt him from his eating and food plan. As a matter of fact, it was an insult to the king. And so Daniel was a conscientious objector. And so he said, I don't want to do this, but it took courage. And he wasn't the only Jewish boy in the crowd. He had his three friends with him that went along. But there were a lot of other Jewish boys in that whole venue. And they it doesn't say it, but, you know, obviously they saw no problem with it. But here's Daniel. Standing strong. Just because everybody else was doing it, Daniel says, I'm going to stand strong. And all the other boys, they did what they wanted to do. But Daniel says, I'm going to stand with courage. Get that. Even if I have to stand alone. Wow. Even though there were other boys that were brought up in the Jewish faith that was with Daniel, the best, the brightest, the most athletic, they looked good in appearance and all of that. They had educational aptitude and all of that. Daniel says, even in the midst of all them doing it, I will, with courage, I'm going to stand, even if I have to stand alone. And I hope you know this, that when God tests us in areas, he want to see if we're going to have the courage to stand up for what is right, even though everybody else is doing something else. It takes courage to stand on principles and stand on what you know and to do right. He was willing to say that the majority was wrong, even though they all doing it. I'm not going to do it. And listen, what is right, and it will always be right. You can't fix it to make right wrong. If it's right, it's just right. If it's wrong, it's just wrong. And you can't fix it and make it sound good and all this other stuff to make it, right is right and wrong is wrong. Wrong is going to always be wrong. Right is going to always be right. And that's what we know. And so Daniel stands with courage, even though he may have to stand alone. And that's the kind of courage that God blesses. To stand, hear me, even if you have to stand alone, even though everybody else around you is doing a certain thing. So we see courage there. And in that verse, on the outline, it says in the Exodus, and this is the good news, and the Living Bible says, God never follow the crowd in doing wrong. Watch this. Don't be swayed in your testimony by the mood of the majority. I like that translation because it's the ideal of never allowing the mood of how the majority feels to sway what you are supposed to do. Get that. And it takes courage to not be swayed by the mood or the testimony of the majority. The ideal is that we can be manipulated by the mood of the majority and attempt to follow that crowd. Daniel says, no, I'm going to be a man of courage. And I'm going to stand no matter what. Watch that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. It says, stand true to what you believe. Get that. Stand true to what you believe. Be courageous and be strong. Stand true to what you believe and be courageous and be strong. God is looking for men and women of courage today in a culture that is turning right into wrong and wrong into right. And they're turning darkness into light. They're turning sweet into bitter and all these things, you know. And he's looking for men and women who will stand with courage. And so if you're talking about being conformed to this world, it's going to take courage to not be conformed to this world, even if we have to stand alone, even if we have to stand on principles that are not too popular, even if we have to stand on ways that the world says are ways that are what's the word where is way back, you know, that's for the olden times and all this. No, there are principles that God gives us that we need to stand on, even if we have to stand alone. So there's a fourth test there. We see that it's integrity, that God tests Daniel on his integrity. He tests him on his discipline. He tests him on his courage. But watch this. He also, there's a test of humility. Humility. Look at that. Flip your page over. He tests him on humility. Listen, he was tactful with authority. Watch this. He couldn't do what the authorities asked him to do. And he said, I can't do this. It's against my values. It's morally wrong. It violates my conscience. Watch this. But he's still very tactful with the authority, showing great humility. The way Daniel made his appeal to King Nebuchadnezzar, watch this, and the authority showed his respect. Daniel was respectful. Listen, hear me good. He knew that God had allowed this pagan leader who wasn't a Christian, who wasn't a God-fearing individual. He wasn't a godly man, but he knew God allowed this pagan leader in his life to be his boss. So watch this. Some of you got bad bosses out there. Some of you got folk that God has allowed in your life. Listen, and listen, he's allowed them in your life, but you also have to be, listen, act with humility and be respectful. Hear me good. Listen, there's folk in your life that are dishonest. There are people who are over you that, you know, they're wrong for whatever reason, but you got to know how to make the appeal. Amen. By being respectful and being allowing humility to be the order of the day. Watch what Daniel does. Watch this. On that verse that you're looking at there, verse 9, it says, and Daniel asked the chief official, watch this, for permission. He asked him for permission. Get that. He didn't demand. He didn't rebel. He didn't put up a sign at his cubicle saying, I demand my rights. Are you listening to me? He asked for permission. Can I have permission to be exempt from this? This is the first thing he does. He's very respectful. He asks for permission. And verse 9, and that God had given the chief official great respect for Daniel. Watch this. In other words, I like the way one version put it. It says God gave this chief official, gave Daniel favor and goodwill. Gave him favor and goodwill in the sight of this official. And this is less than a year. He's only 15 years of age, but obviously Daniel is doing something right at 15 years of age that he earns the respect of this chief pagan official. And no, whatever he was doing, it was a good thing. And here's what the official said to Daniel. He said, I'm afraid of my Lord, if I give you permission to do this, I'm afraid of my Lord the King, who orders that you eat his food and wine. And if you aren't healthy as the others are, I fear the king will have me beheaded. Watch this. See, this is a legitimate fear and claim. He says, look, Daniel, you got my respect. I'm watching you at 15 years of age. You are really doing a great job. He said, but if I allow this to happen and you're not healthy at the end, I fear that the king will have me beheaded. He gonna take my life. I think it's a legitimate concern. Amen. Because he was old, he was responsible for these young men, and if they weren't what the king wanted, he gonna look at the official and say, why are they not healthy like everybody else? And you know, possibly this man could lose his life. And so it's a legitimate concern and a real fear. And so watch this, the next verse on your outline. So next, Daniel talks it over with the guard appointed to look after Daniel and his three friends, and Daniel offers a suggestion. Offers a suggestion. How about, here's what he said, just test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and waters, and then see how healthy we look compared to the young men eating the king's food. Here's Daniel. Daniel didn't demand it. Daniel says, look, can I just offer this suggestion? He says, just allow us to eat vegetable and water and see how we compare to the other cats after just 10 days. And then watch what he says. Then you can decide whether or not to let us continue eating our own diet. Daniel ain't trying to push his way through. He ain't trying to fight his way through. He's not trying to argue with anybody. He offers a suggestion. He doesn't demand it. He asks for permission to be excused from this. And listen, the ideal there is that, he said, just let us do this. And so he leaves it up to the guy who's in authority. And watch what the verse says at the end of the 10 days. Whoo, help me hear somebody. Daniel and his friends look healthier and better nourished than any of the other in the king's training program. Did y'all get that? Watch that. Just 10 days. So after that, the guard let them eat their own food. And when the 3-year training program was complete, all the young men who were brought to King Nebuchadnezzar, who talked with each one individually, none impressed the king as much as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Get that? So they were each promoted. I ain't making that up. So they were each promoted to positions in the king's service. They were promoted. You're going to see that 5 times in Daniel's lifetime. He was promoted. He never gives up on his integrity. He remains disciplined. He still soars and thrives in a pagan, ungodly, secular, anti-God culture. This is the first of his promotions. Instead of just surviving, Daniel is thriving. He remains a man of integrity. He remains disciplined. He's a man of courage and a man of humility. And God promotes he and his friends, watch that, to a whole nother level in his kingdom. He is not just surviving. Listen, beloved, here's what you got to know. We don't just have to survive. We can thrive. I believe that not only this church, not only individuals as Christians, we can thrive in the midst of this pandemic, in the midst of what we're going through. We can thrive instead of just survive. And listen, God can allow us to continue to soar higher and higher and higher, long as we remain people of integrity, people of discipline, people of courage. Don't be scared to make decisions and do what you got to do in the face of a world that says you cannot do it. Are you listening to me? And then we got to remain people of humility, making sure that all credit goes to God. Are you listening to me? We can thrive in this world. And so here's Daniel growing in influence. And remember, after those 3 years, he's only 18 years of age, and God promotes him to a higher position in the kingdom of God. In the kingdom of the Babylonians. Listen, I want to stop here before I go any further, and I want to give you a couple of things to explain that what do you do when someone is in authority? And you'll see, how do you make a case against case to an authority, just like Daniel did, when you have to stand on your principles? How do you make that case? And I think Daniel teaches us, how do we do that? How do we make that case? Because we're going to need these skills with our employee, with the people around us, with our family, with our boss, with the government sometime. How do we make that case to the court, the appeals court, and all that stuff, to law enforcement, to our teachers, when we've got to stand on principles that are right? First of all, here it is. Write this in that blank one. How do we make the case to authorities when we are confronted to conform to the world instead of being transformed? Number one, we got to develop the reputation for responsibility. Hear this. Before we can ever make an appeal to our employee, to our boss, to anybody, we got to develop a reputation for responsibility. Notice, listen, that in the passage it said that the chief officer had gained respect for Daniel. At 15, he had gained respect for Daniel. And listen, how did he do that? Because Daniel developed a reputation for responsibility. At 15 years of age, he stood out because he had a good attitude. He was responsible, I guess, for he was consistent, he was loyal, and he had all these good qualities about him. There's a verse, it ain't in your outline, but write it down. And remember it, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 29, it says, if you do your job well, leaders will notice and you will serve before kings. In other words, beloved, that ideal is that you'll get promoted. If you do your job well, those who are in leadership will notice that you're doing a good job. And watch this, he says, you'll serve kings. So the ideal is that we gotta develop a reputation, watch this, of responsibility. Listen, the fact is that people with great responsibility notice people who are responsible. People with great responsibility, leaders, notice people who are responsible because they understand how important responsibility is. Hear me, and hear me good. A whole lot of folk want to do a whole lot of stuff, but I've discovered that you've got to prove yourself to be responsible. If you can't handle this, what makes you think God's going to give you that? If you're not responsible for this one area, how much do we think that God's going to give us all this other stuff? So we got to develop this responsibility, this reputation for being responsible in the marketplace, on our job. We ought to have the best reputation. We ought to be the best employees. We ought to be the best citizens of the nation. We ought to be the hardest workers. The believer ought to be the most trustworthy people and the most consistent people. We ought not be slackers and taking time off when we're not supposed to. I understand you got to get good rest and you got to do this and you got to do that. But I'm talking about when we're supposed to be working and we're not working. Are you listening to me? And Daniel, the brother listened to Daniel because he already had a proven track record. He had gained the respect of the one who was in authority. Get that? So, beloved, we got to develop a reputation of being responsible. Number two, we've got to be humble. When we're trying to appeal to folk and we're trying to stand on what's right, we got to, give me a few moments and I'll be done. We got to be humble and not belligerent. Be humble and not belligerent, because attitude determines acceptance. I'm not talking about how to make a demand. You know, I demand this or I demand that. I'm not talking about protesting around the courthouse and, you know, all this stuff. No, Daniel just said, I don't want to eat this. And he had the right attitude. He had an humble attitude. He made suggestions. Watch what Proverbs chapter 25, verse 6 says. He says, when you stand before the king at any time, you see the word king in the Bible, it means leader, someone in authority. When you stand before someone in authority, your boss or anybody else, try not to impress him and pretend to be important. In other words, I got, you know, if you don't do what I say, you know, I can get you fired and all this other stuff. If you threaten them, threats don't ever work. Be humble or you'll stumble. Develop a reputation for being responsible and humble, not belligerent. Number three on that outline, do not be deceptive or manipulate. Get this. Don't be deceptive or manipulate. If you got a case to make with someone, listen, your boss, the government, your teacher, anybody, you go, I'm sorry, I just can't do this. It's against my conscience. It violates my belief. And don't lie about it. Don't just lie about it. You got to make sure that you are, what you are doing is that you are honest. You know, don't be deceptive or manipulate. In other words, you know, you can't try to strengthen your case by being deceptive or manipulate. You know, that's what Daniel could have done. He could have been deceptive. He could have been manipulative and all this other stuff, but he didn't do it. He wasn't deceitful or dishonest. You know, he didn't lie about it. You know, he didn't say, I got allergies to this food. Listen, you don't have to do that. Just be upfront and honest. Watch what 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says. We reject all shameful and underhanded methods. Watch what he says. We do not try to trick anyone. We do not distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know that. I like that, beloved, because God will honor your honesty. Number four, appeal to their goals and their interests. Don't just demand stuff, but appeal to their goals and their interests. Notice what Daniel says. Daniel says, look, he says, your objective, the king's objective, is to have us healthy. So Daniel says, okay, I can get the same results, but doing it a different way. See, he appeals to their goals and objectives, and he doesn't allow them to suggest that that this is just his. I want the same thing you want. I'm trying to get the same thing you're trying to get. You want us healthy. You want us to be the biggest, the best, the brightest. You want all of us to, you know, be strong. And Daniel appeals to their same goals and objectives. Listen to me. You know, he says that way we can try it for 10 days. And if it don't work, we can always go back. I like that. My pastor in San Diego used to say, he says, we can try to do this. And if it don't work, we can always go back. And I think that's what Daniel was saying. If this don't work, we can always go back. Number five, choose the right place, the right time, and the right words. Put that in that blank. Choose the right place, the right time, and the right words. The right place, it always has to be privately. I'm sure Daniel pulled the brother to the side and said, hey, can we just do this another way? Listen, he pulled him in privately. He didn't put him on blast. Hello, somebody. He did it privately and not publicly. And we all make those mistakes where we publicly put folk on blast. And listen, I just talked to the, Sunday, y'all saw, I got a little upset because the sound wasn't right. I, you know, that was the wrong way to handle that. And so what I did was I went up and talked to the folk up at the crew, told them I was sorry, I made a mistake. That wasn't the best way to handle that. You know, I got to learn how to control my emotions. So privately is always the best way to do it. The right time is, you know, if the person, there's always right time. You know, like when I was growing up, you know, if my daddy was tired and my mama was tired, that wasn't a good time to go in there and ask them for something. I waited till they got something to eat. They was laid back, relaxed. Amen, somebody. So it's always a right time and a right place to do stuff. And then the right words. It'll always be pleasant and polite. You know, write this verse down. Proverbs 16, verse 21, it says, a wise, mature person is known for his understanding, and the more pleasant his words, the more persuasive he is. Watch this. If I write this down, I'm never persuasive if I am abrasive. You catch more bees with honey, I guess that's it. I catch more flies with honey. I don't know if I want to catch any flies, but you catch more bees with honey than you can with vinegar. Listen, if you got to shoot an arrow, at least dip it in honey first. Are you listening to me? So, right way. Then number six, the last one, and I'm done. Here it is. Trust God if they reject your appeal. That's what, yeah, just trust God, because sometimes it won't, it won't work or transpire the way you want it to. With Daniel, it did, but it don't always. And then you got to learn how to trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Not everything is going to happen the way we want it to happen in this world, and we got to learn how to trust God. Just like Daniel. How did he get that kind of discipline, that kind of wisdom, that kind of grace in his life, that kind of courage? How did he get that at a young age? And I believe this, Daniel had a close relationship with God at 15. This blows us away. Get that. 15. And I believe it's because he had a close relationship with God. God was his friend, and he lived in the presence of God. He had God's promises in his heart. He had God's power in his spirit. He had God's people around him, and he had God's protection, and he was fearless. Get this, beloved, just like us, all of us, listen, we got Jesus with us. We got the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the promises of God, and we got God family around us. That's why you can't handle trying not to be conformed to this world if you don't have the people of God around you. That's why, and hear me, and I'm done, that you need a church home so the people of God can put their arms around you to help you to grow and mature in the world. A Christian is never to be an isolated individual. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Hello, somebody. And we all need somebody. And that's why you need a church home. We got Jesus with us, the Holy Spirit in us. We got the promises of God. And we got to have a church family. And that's what this is about. So that's our lesson for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Remember, we got some classes that are coming up. I want you to log on for our spring classes. And those of you, you know, they're already on our website. Look those classes up. And I need you all to enroll in those classes. I need to see how many are being part of that. Then also want to remind you that our church anniversary is coming up. And I want you to register for that and see what the Lord says. I hear there's supposed to be rain, so we'll see if that is going to be the case and what is plan B if we have to do that. All right. God bless you. May the Lord keep you. And I think I did good time today. Amen. All right, let's pray together. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity to be led down into the deep treasures of your word. We realize, oh God, that as we study this book of Daniel, we see areas of Daniel's life where you tested him. And then after the test, there was the blessing. There was promotion in his life. And so this area of being conformed to this world, Lord, we realize that there it is a test in order for us to go higher and higher with you. We realize that you can trust us, Lord, with certain things if we pass the test. So give us the discipline, give us the courage, give us the humility, Lord, in order to respond in ways that bring glory to you. We love you, Lord, and we're not ashamed to say it. We lift up all those who are sick and shut in. We pray, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you bind this thing called cancer that is running rampant through our society and our community. And Lord, we just love you. And as we move forward, take us higher and higher and higher each day, helping us, oh God, not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we might know what your will is for us. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. And together, every child of God said amen. Amen. All right, God bless you. We'll see you next week. We'll see you Sunday. Amen. God bless.